Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
All right, great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for another summer weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar. They have six great flavors of slushies, too. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so we got a lot going on today. Bill Bender's sporting news at 3:35 today, and Matt Fortuna, the Athletic, at 4:06 today, because we're going to delve into a lot more when it comes to this world of expansion in college sports. Let's get to Tale of the Tape. When it comes to Penn State football, and credit where credit is due on the new roster, to Nate Bauer of On3.com, and he was able to put together the change in the weights for Penn State football. You know, and what happens at this time of the year, obviously they're going through you're going through this time of the year and you're trying to, you know, tone. Some guys need a little more weight, some guys less. So this is the job that Nate Bauer has been able to do and put together, where he was able to take all of the guys, and he went through the entire roster. And in going through the entire roster, he gave what the old way was, and he does this numerically. So we'll start at number two, even though number one is now Keandre Lambert-Smith. There are a couple of guys who aren't on here. Keaton Ellis went from 190 to 193. Johnny Dixon, a corner, from 183 down to 180. Parker Washington went from 212 to 215. But again, I literally just saw these guys last Thursday, and I can tell you, they all look like they're in great shape. Parker looked like he was in great shape. Kalen King from 186 to 188. Most of these have very small changes. Cam Miller, 175 down to 173. Mitchell Tinsley from 203 to 206. Zaki Wheatley went from 191 to 189. Jalen Reed made a huge jump from 209 to 210. So Jalen Reed up 1 pound. Tyler Johnson, 175 up to 182. Marquise Wilson dropped weight. He went from 184 to 178. Joey Porter Jr., 196 up to 198. Bo Prabula, 200 up to 204. Mekhi Flowers, 185 down to 179. Christian Veau, from 202 down to 200. Katron Allen, a running back, 216 down to 211. Christian Driver went from 185 up to 191. Sean Clifford dropped four from 216 to 212. Tyrese Mills went from 195 to 201. Drew Aller went from 229 to 242. But I looked at Drew's 6'5". I looked at Drew last week, and you know, maybe he wants to drop a little bit. We'll see. But it looked like good weight to me for him. Jair Brown, 204 to 208. Khalil Dinkins, 233 to 234. He's a tight end. Mason Stahl, now wide receiver, 195 to 197. Devon Townley, the defensive end, from 268 up to 269. Jaden Dotnett, wide receiver, went from 199, dropped to 191. Adisa Isaac went up five from 244 to 249. K.J. Winston went from 190 to 199. Curtis Jacobs went up two from 227 to 229. Of course, he's playing inside now. So if you're doing this numerically, we're up to number 23. So now we go to number 24, and that's corner Jeffrey Davis, 182 down to 180. Daquan Hardy dropped seven from 182 to 175. Keziah Holmes bumped up one from 216 to 217. Jaden Sider, 184 to 179. Bobby Walchek, 212 to 211. Zane Durant went from 265 up to 272. Devin Ford went from 190 to 191. Sebastian Constantini at safety from 187 up to 190. Keon Wiley jumped from 200 to 218. Danai Dennis Sutton went from 255 to 254. Dom DeLuca from 215 down to 211. Tyler Holsworth from 185 to 194. Zariah Fisher went from 266. Steven Ripka went from 180 to 179. Robbie Dwyer bumped up nine from 252 to 261. Kobe King will be competing at that inside linebacker spot. Went from 242 to 245. Jamari Budden went from 219, dropped one to 218. Tyler Elsden also competing at that inside linebacking spot, 229 to 233. Chop Robinson, okay, I think he's a huge addition. 240 up to 242. Tyler Warren, 254 up to 256. Charlie Catcher, 4 up to 230. Nick Tarburton went from 260 to 269. Alex Fermanek went from 285 to 287. Tyler Duzanski, who happens to be one of the long snappers, 285 to 287. Excuse me, my apologies. 202 to 212. Cody Romano, 232, dropped down to 223. Ben Chismar went from 211 to 217. Michael Wright, who's another one of the long snappers, went from 205 to 211. Hakeem Beeman went from 261 to 269. Jimmy Crist went from 315 to 312. Jordan Vandenberg dropped four from 295 down to 291. Nick Dawkins stayed the same, came in at 315, still 315. Fatorma Mulba went from 305 to 307 at that defensive tackle spot. On the offensive line, J.B. Nelson, 294 up to 305. Ibrahim Traor went from 320. Landon Tangwall went from 330 to 332. Hunter Norzad went from 310 up to 315. Drew Shelton, the true freshman, 275 up to 279. Juice Scruggs went from 310 to 319. Bryce Effner went from 298 down to 287. Malik McNeil came in at 355. He's now 370. Olu Fashanu was 310 up to 321, but looks cut. Sal Wormley dropped 11, went from 309 down to 298. Golden Israel Achumbo went from 332 to 331. Caden Wallace jumped 5 from 319 to 324. Malik Mega went from 203 down to 200. Liam Clifford went from 200 to 197. Theo Johnson up 6, 254 to 260. Jan Mallett went from 178 down to 176. Trey Wallace, Harrison Wallace III, went from 191 up to 192. Jason Estrella, 187 up to 190. Brenton Strange from 248 down to 246. Jerry Cross, another tight end, 250 to 256. Grayson Klein, another tight end, 251 up to 254. Rodney McGraw dropped 4 from 271 to 267. Jake Pinniger went from 206 down to 200. Smith Vilbert from 260 to 258. Spencer Perry, 219 up to 225. Sander Sahadik went from 171 to 172. Defensive end Jake Wilson from 246 to 249. Punter Barney Amore from 193 down to 192. P.J. Mustipher went from 329 to 321. He dropped 8. Keziah Izzard dropped 9 from 296 to 287. Gabe Mwasu went from 278 to 276. So Gabe, who's been a punter here, has dropped weight as he's steadily been doing it. And Vega Ione, new on the roster, is listed at 6'4 and 230. And Nate Bauer from on3.com is the one that put together that list. That is his baby. So there you are. That's where that stands right now. People always are wondering about that, and that's a slice of football news on a Friday afternoon. I didn't say it was a gigantic slice, but it's a slice of football news. So, all right. So there's what you have with Penn State football, and of course, training camp is what? We're about, what, a little bit more than three weeks away. That's it. And just so you know, they got another verbal commitment today. But again, I can't get into it only because of their verbal commitments. And in a world where everything's wide open, it seems these days, there are still certain rules when it comes to the recruiting part, because it's a verbal commitment. I can't comment because I'm paid by the university to broadcast the games. So that's the story that we have to this point. We're going to talk with Bill Bender, Sporting News. And we're going to talk with Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. The Bill, of course, is going to give us a national viewpoint, national, but also zero in on Notre Dame. Pete Sampson and Matt are the two best at The Athletic when it comes to and because of that, they're the ones that you want to go to and see what they think. And that's why we're going to ask him on the show. And then any phone calls you want to get in? 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. I saw Drew Kelly's drive across the bridge with our show in the background. That bridge is a mile long, and I saw an aerial shot of it. It's absolutely gorgeous. Fabulous job on that. Really is... to do something like that, it's when this is all said and done, it's going to make for the valley. All right. Bill Bender, Sporting News, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for another summer weekend. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up now for the weekend. It's going to be another hot weekend out there. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so much going on in expansion. So we're going to spend the next hour dealing with that with two guests. And one of them, an old friend. In fact, they're both old friends. I feel like it's been old friends week here on the show. When it's time to get into the clutch time with what's going on, you want to go to people you trust and you know. And both of these guys fall into that category. Matt Fortuna will be in the next half hour. It's going to be Bill Bender to open things up from Sporting News. Bill, great to have you back. Great to hear you on the other end. Welcome.
Hey.
Obviously, I think everybody was caught, like, what? When this came down. So what was your reaction? And then you had to carve out winners and losers out of this right away.
Well, you know what? The initial reactions I write, those are, you know, those are for click's sake.
Sure.
You all know that. Yeah. You're trying to, like, make the... Then when you sit back and think about it for a week, then you start to see the whole board. And I'm still trying to see it. I wrote a piece this week about the greed and the super conference era and everything that I think's coming. And it made a lot of people mad, Steve. But I'm going to contend this. I don't think I'm wrong. I think this is what's coming. I didn't say I liked it. I'm just telling you, the mega conference, the money, the TV. You know, you were at the Penn State USC Rose Bowl, were you not? Did you ever think 5 years later USC would be in the Big Ten? I didn't.
No, I didn't. And nor did I think that I might be announcing a game in the Rose Bowl, but it was UCLA. I didn't think that. You know, I mean. You just kind of look at it, and I mean, I never, you know, I mean, when I did that Rose Bowl game, I sat back and went, okay, you know, maybe get back here, maybe you can play them in a playoff game here or something like that. Didn't think they'd be in the same conference.
No, I understand the Big Ten logic. You went cross country now. Now you have the LA market. If it is based on TV, that's eyeballs. You did get the Pac-12 biggest brand and their sibling. I mean, UCLA is a good package for that. You got a football program that won 11 national titles and a basketball program that's won 11 national titles. So, and the thing that has kind of rubbed me the wrong way, Steve, is these people on Twitter that are like, well, I can't wait to, you know, Rutgers is going to travel here and Rutgers is going to travel. Who cares? Rutgers is going to do that because they're getting a ton of money.
Right. Exactly. And Rutgers is not fully vested. Rutgers has borrowed so much money or been advanced so much money in the Big Ten. They don't actually get a full check until of the cut until 2027. I mean, that, and that's, and if you're Mike Bone, let's be honest about it, you're Mike Bone. Martin Jarman, you know, UCLA was in a world of hurt financially. But if you're Mike Bone, you're going to sit there and you're going to look over at your at Lincoln Riley and say, Rutgers is getting 2.5 times the TV money we are. And Riley's going to look at him and say, no. Really?
Right. It is. It's all dictated by TV and this deal that everybody's talking about with the Big Ten and how much that's going to make. And, you know, we all take that next step. I think we talked last summer after the SEC added Oklahoma and Texas, right, and you wonder what's next. Well, here was next, and it took a year. And that's why I think it's going to be a minute before we see what's next from this. I mean, everybody knows that Notre Dame's the domino we're all kind of looking at. What are they going to do? Do they stay in the ACC? Do they come to the Big Ten? I don't think they go to the SEC, but in 2022, I'm not ruling anything out.
Right.
So that will determine the number of super conferences that we end up having.
I mean, Notre Dame goes to the beat of its own drum, right? I think that's fair to say. They've always done it their own way, but now they may be. I mean, is it possible now all of this forces the hand?
I think so. I mean, how long can they stay independent? I mean, you guys are in Pennsylvania. I'm in Ohio. There are strong. I went to a Catholic school for 12 years. I know there's a ton of Notre Dame fans in both states. There's a ton of Notre Dame fans in this entire region. They can't. To me, the Big Ten remains their logical fit, not just because of that, not because the potential rivalries or reigniting rivalries with Big Ten people, but, you know, their biggest rival just joined the Big Ten. Notre Dame always likes to play that we go coast to coast argument. Now you can in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point because obviously the biggest rival is USC. Yeah, they can go coast to coast now. They're not scheduling Rutgers. So Rutgers is taking a beating on this show. They're the only chip left in the game that brings enough to the table that expands the finances for everybody, unless you have a different opinion.
I think they are, but why I say they're the domino that's going to dictate some things is the other chip to me, the second best chip, isn't Oregon, it's North Carolina.
Everybody's talked about that, yeah.
Like, I think their football program's competent. You can bring in their basketball, their academics is what the Big Ten AAU profile meets. Maybe you get Duke, maybe you get Virginia. I mean, this is so far down the list of what they get out of that. But as a guy whose son's starting to take up lacrosse, you get the best lacrosse conference in the country too. If you bring up those ACC schools and combine it with the Big Ten, so that's just part of the logical fit to me. And it has nothing to do with football, but I think that North Carolina, Duke, Virginia wing of the ACC would be the next thing that the Big Ten would look at if they got Notre Dame.
How difficult would it be, though, to get out of the ACC's grant of rights?
That's complicated. I see Andy Staples from The Athletic has a piece. He was just tweeting about those contracts that I'm going to read as soon as I get off the phone here. So, I mean, he probably has better answers to that than I do. But, yeah, I mean, it's just me being cynical, but I always, with schools like that and TV deals and those kind of things, I always say they'll find the money to do it. They'll figure it out. If they really want to leave, they'll get out. But that's the other reason why, as much as I think the SEC and the Big Ten, they could press it and go get more schools, they also could stay put. And we'd have three super conferences with the ACC. And I don't know what to do with the Pac-12, Big 12, Steve, because I think there's 21 schools left over in those two conferences. You could make 16 teams, but that's not going to be as powerful as the other three.
Right. And that, to me, I mean, the innocent bystanders in this, to me, and you, when you look just at the Pac, at the Pac-12, to me, are Washington State and Oregon State. I mean, not exactly like, I mean, the phone doesn't ring in their direction. They have to make calls.
Right. Yeah, and that's, this is the other part of it, and a lot of the pushback I was getting from my column was, well, college football is a regional sport, and this is going to kill all those regional rivalries. And my pushback to that, Steve, is I don't think college football has been a regional sport since the BCS started. I think or at least it hasn't wanted to be one. It's wanted to be a national brand. I mean, just from your state alone, I mean, is Pitt and Penn State an every year rivalry? No.
Nope.
Does the possibility exist that Pitt could come to the Big Ten in a super conference environment? Yeah. And it'd be kind of cool. So I'm kind of taking that glass half full attitude of, do you think the super conferences create a better regular season? I think it's going to end up creating a better playoff, which they're no closer to coming up with, instead of, I bet you if you ask me who I have in my playoff projections, I bet you can guess the three of the four. it's not too hard.
No.
And that's what I think. If you're giving me that option, the super conference option, over what I've watched the last 8 years, I think I'm taking it.
Yeah. Because of the days days gone by, you know, and you and I would remember the Southwest Conference, of all things. The Southwest Conference, the Big Eight, the Pac-8, which then became the Pac-10, then became 12. The Big Ten, the SEC, and so forth, the ACC. Those days are gone now, Bill. I mean, it's that's just not the way it is now. It's more of an NFL feel to it. At least to me, it does.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like NFL light. And so our mutual friend and our college basketball writer, Mike DeCourcy, he uses this line a lot that conferences don't go out of business. And with very few exceptions, the Southwest Conference, and for those of your listeners that remember the old Metro Basketball Conference, they're about the only two I can think of.
Yep.
So that's another reason why I think this might be slower than we believe it is the ACC is not just going to go out of business. The Pac-12 and the Big 12 are going to work together, I think, to try to survive. And it's going to be different, though. And I think the Big 10 and the SEC, if they're playing the rule of this AFC and NFC, I'm wondering how far they're going to press it.
And here's another interesting part, and I haven't really brought this up in a while, but I'll bring it up now. What's interesting about a super conference is that, say, everybody plays on a given Saturday. So everybody plays. You know, you've got eight conference games in the SEC, and you've got eight conference games in the Big Ten. And some of them are going to have some power matchups. You're going to have eight winners, but you're also going to have eight losers. I mean, that's the part that I think, like, sometimes people don't grow. Like, look at all these great teams. Geez, I can't believe that team ended up 8-4.
But I think it softens that, right?
Yeah.
So I had somebody pushing back on me that's saying, well, this new 12-team playoff will have three loss and four loss teams in it. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's okay to me.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm conditioned as somebody that watches the NFL too. And the point I made is and I'm a Mac graduate too, so it hurts to say this, but I don't need to see Ohio State play Akron.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
I went to Ohio, as you know. I don't necessarily need to watch Penn State Ohio unless I think Ohio's going to win.
Right. No, well, exactly. It even gets to the point where I watched Cincinnati play Indiana last year. You want to know why? Because Penn State was going to play Indiana. I really didn't care. I had no interest in watching Cincinnati. And they made the playoff, and I had no interest in watching them. I had no interest in watching their championship game.
But if you get Penn State playing USC and Oregon as part of a crossover schedule, that's a 10-game conference schedule with some forgiveness built in because you're playing a tougher schedule.
Right.
I'm all about it. I mean, I think the other thing with college football that we've been conditioned to think is one or two – well, it's proven true in the playoff era. If you lose twice, you don't make the playoff.
That's right, yeah.
And Penn State felt that in 16 the hard way.
Yep.
This makes that go away. And I think it could be a good thing.
And look, in the NFL for you now, look, it's obviously it's a different ball game, but 9-7 has won the Super Bowl. I mean, the Giants were 9-7. They won the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots. I mean, so it's not going to be to that extent. But a four-loss team with a great schedule could get in. They could win it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, I'm a Packers fan. Their last Super Bowl they won was out of the wild card.
Yeah, they were the sixth seed, right?
Yep, and they went, and Aaron Rodgers got hot, and there it was. And I've watched him be the one seed and not be able to break through. So I just look at the NFL playoff model and the NFL regular season model, and I go off our traffic at Sporting News and, you know, the stories that you read. It's king. It's absolute king. It's not close. There's not another sport that's close.
That's right.
And college football, if you adopted a similar model, and you had a playoff that could produce something that was akin to the divisional playoff weekend, that'd be outstanding. And I don't know if they can do it. They're not going to be able to do it without some sacrifices, and that's obvious. But I think it can be done. And as I wrote in my column, Steve, an interesting test case is this year, because rivalry weekend is going up against the World Cup.
Right.
And I'm not a soccer guy. But there will be some interest in soccer at that point.
Yeah, there will be. There'll be a lot of interest in soccer because it's in Qatar. They had to play it at the time of the year where it had to go up against the NFL and not in the summertime, because they would feel like they were on a rotisserie if they played in the summer in Qatar. So I'm with you. I think there's you get a better playoff. I'm with you all the way through on I think you actually would be, you get a true national champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And the other point that you made in this, which I think was really interesting, was about a new generation of fans. I'm with you on that. I think that happens. I think, look, you and I have to adapt to what happens. I have no problem adapting, but I think for young people out there, this brings a level of excitement to it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have an 11-year-old boy, and I listen to his. I'll be honest, him and his group of friends aren't the college football junkies that I was. They'll watch NFL and they'll watch NBA, but they're not like diehard college football fans. They're not. And I was explaining this to somebody. I was like, okay. You want to go back to the 90s, huh? You want a decade where there were three split national championships, and that's not counting the year that Nebraska and Penn State were 1-2,
right,
which could have been easily a fourth split.
Right.
You want to go back to the BCS era where a computer determined it, and I remember that. People were destined to the BCS every year. And now you want to stay with a model where, like I said, there's seven schools that have been in that have taken 25 and 32 playoff spots.
Yeah.
If you guys want to stay with that, that's cool. But that I think my story and the negative reactions it drew, I think people just read the headline and didn't. You actually read what I wrote, and you can see where I'm going with it. And that's what I think the people that want to try to see the whole picture, for better or worse, I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, what's happened, too, is since 2016, there hasn't been a team west of Norman, Oklahoma that's been in it.
Right?
Since 2016, they're in the now there's some West Coast excitement just by UCLA and USC just doing the Big Ten thing. Now we'll see how it plays out. And now you got to figure out what happens with Oregon and Washington. But it does give a coast to coast feel instead of, okay, the wagon train stopped in Norman.
Right. Well, and people like say, well, college football is a regional sport. Yeah, right now it's a regional sport dominated by one region.
Yes.
The SEC. And
yep.
We've been watching that for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, at least 10. I know Tennessee won the first one, but pretty much since the first BCS champion. If you want that to continue, go right ahead. I think the super conference thing, and the other part of the Big Ten that's really interesting to me, and I spelled this out the week before, was if you look at the top 12 all-time winning this program, top 12.
Yep.
SEC has six, right, Steve? They have Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Yep.
Big Ten has Penn State, High State, Michigan, Nebraska, USC. Notre Dame's the 12th one. That's my other self to Notre Dame. And from a brand standpoint, Notre Dame, Penn State, Nebraska, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, brand power-wise, that's every bit as powerful as the SEC. No doubt about it.
Right, exactly. And that, to me, is what this expansion was about. It's not only the market of Los Angeles, but it's the brand. You had to have, in other words, you can't sit there, and I've used this example, we have LaSalle. We have the Philadelphia market. No, you don't. Okay.
Right.
All right. Guess what? You got USC, and then in conjunction UCLA, you now do have the Southern California market. And because the brands are powerful enough.
And you have the Pac-12 market, with the exception of Oregon.
Right.
Like those are the schools. When you and I talk about preseason prognostications and all that stuff, how many times do we use the phrase, well, when USC's good, it's good for college football?
Yeah.
And it's true. And I think them having Lincoln Riley and this army of transfers that they have, yes, it's good for college football, no doubt.
You're good for this show. It is my fault for not getting you on more often, because every time we do this, we just talk. And
I love it.
And we have a blast doing it. So let's not be strangers on this. How about that?
Well, yeah, and I'll see. I'm going on vacation next week, and I'm going to be all ready for Big Ten Media Days. Hopefully, when I'm on vacation, Steve, they don't add six more teams. We'll see.
You and I have coinciding vacations. I'm on vacation next week too. And if they add it, yeah, I'll answer my phone. Bill, have a great time on vacation. Relax. Put your feet up. Okay, you earned it.
I will. Thanks so much, Steve.
Bill Bender, Sporting News. Matt Fortuna, The Athletic, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.